all one fight. Saving the free world will require an alliance of democracies. By Alan W. Dowd. Caption: The Carl Vinson and Theodore Roosevelt carrier strike groups joined the Japanese Maritime Self-Defense Force for a joint exercise earlier this year in the Philippine Sea as part of a growing collaboration aimed at countering Chinese aggression. The Free World. The American Presidency Project's database tells us President Franklin D. Roosevelt was the first president to use the phrase in 1941. Although FDR invoked the free world sparingly, just six times, his successors employed it routinely to unite our allies and define our enemies. Between 1945 and 1989, presidents used the phrase in 1,748 speeches and documents. After the Cold War, the phrase was largely supplanted by terms like international community and community of nations, reflecting what seemed like global acceptance of free government. But the reemergence of an aggressive autocratic bloc with outposts around the globe serves as a stark reminder that the world is anything but a community of free nations. There's a free world governed by consensus and the rule of law. There's also an axis of autocracies governed by coercion and one-man rule. And that autocratic bloc is trying to remake the world in its image. Axis of autocracy. Tyrant regimes and their partners are literally rolling back the free world. Vladimir Putin's Russia occupies and has annexed parts of Ukraine, occupied parts of Georgia, props up tyrants in Syria and Venezuela, arms Hezbollah, downed aircraft operating in international airspace, and spews military threats against Moldova, Norway, Poland, Lithuania, Finland, and Sweden. Democracies all. Xi Jinping's China has absorbed Hong Kong, constructed and militarized islands in an effort to annex the South China Sea, threatened to seize Taiwan, attacked India, and violated Japanese and Philippine waters. Plus, Xi is exporting the machinery of his Orwellian surveillance state, planting cyber time bombs inside U.S. critical infrastructure, tripling his nuclear arsenal, and backstopping North Korea. North Korea, with its massive army and growing nuclear arsenal, is sending arms to Russia and testing missiles that threaten South Korea and Japan. Iran equips Russia with kamikaze drones, lobs missiles at Israel, bankrolls Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis, harbors Al-Qaeda's leader, lumbers toward the nuclear club, and targets Americans. Hezbollah shells Israel. Hamas savagely assaulted Israel. The Houthis attack vital shipping lanes. As Secretary of State Antony Blinken observes, for our adversaries, be they states or non-states, this is all one fight. Euro-Atlantic. Spurred by Putin's war, the democracies of Europe are relearning that there's no room for free riders in the free world. NATO allies in Europe are increasing defense spending 53% between 2021 and 2026. NATO nations have sent more than $90 billion in assistance to Ukraine. NATO is investing $1.2 billion to help allies replenish their 155mm artillery stocks. A coalition of NATO nations is supplying Ukraine with 1 million drones. Britain is spearheading NATO's battle group in Estonia, deploying combat units to Poland and dispatching 20,000 troops to defend NATO's north. Germany is doubling defense spending and permanently basing 4,000 soldiers in Lithuania. Poland has increased defense outlays to 4% of GDP. France is increasing defense spending by 40% between 2024 and 2030. With the addition of Sweden and Finland, NATO is securing its northern flank. with battle groups in Bulgaria, Hungary, Romania, Slovakia, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Poland, NATO is returning to its core mission of deterrence. And with 102,000 troops in theater, up 30% from 2021, America is doing its part by opening a 5th Corps headquarters in Poland, basing a brigade combat team in Romania, deploying deterrent assets across the Baltics, and stationing additional warships in Spain and additional warplanes in Britain. Indo-Pacific. Australia is training Ukrainian troops and sending howitzers, ammunition, and UAVs to Ukraine. South Korea is shipping artillery shells to Ukraine via the United States. Japan has sent $1.2 billion in humanitarian aid. Yet these Indo-Pacific democracies are understandably more focused on the looming threat in their neighborhood. Almost doubling defense spending, Japan will soon become the world's third highest defense spending power. With those resources, Japan is deploying aircraft carriers armed with F-35Bs, fielding a lethal submarine force, building new air bases, and acquiring cruise missiles to deter Xi. Australia is increasing defense spending 40% this decade, hosting U.S. assets, building a facility to service F-35s from throughout the Indo-Pacific, and partnering with Britain and the United States to develop nuclear-powered submarines. South Korea is increasing defense spending by 7% annually between 2017 and 2027, expanding its F-35 fleet, building an aircraft carrier, and training alongside U.S. and Japanese forces. The Philippines is opening 9 bases to U.S. assets, working with Washington and Tokyo to modernize its military, drilling with U.S.-Australian forces on amphibious assaults, reorienting its army from counterterrorism to deterrence, and standing up to China's illicit land grabs via covert action and legal action. India has increased defense spending by 49% this decade, boosted its defense budget 13% for 2024, and commissioned its second aircraft carrier. U.S. warships are docking in Indian ports, and U.S. bombers are landing at Indian bases. Middle East. Free world allies from the Americas, Indo-Pacific, and Europe spearhead anti-Islamic State operations. Even as it defends its frontiers against terror, Israel is attriting Iran's presence in Syria, sharing missile defense systems with Germany and Finland, and sending missile warning systems to Ukraine. Likewise, the United States and Germany have sent military aid to Israel. U.S. military advisors deployed to assist Israel's military in planning anti-Hamas operations. The United States, Britain, and France have intercepted missiles and drones targeting Israel. 8 NATO members lead the operation protecting international shipping from Houthi attacks. 20 free world allies form the core of the Combined Maritime Forces, which promotes freedom of the seas around the Arabian Peninsula. Beyond, free world collaborations extend well beyond the military sphere and beyond the atmosphere. Led by the United States, 20 democracies from 5 continents have signed on to the Artemis Accords, which promote the peaceful use and exploration of space. The AUKUS democracies, Australia, the United Kingdom, and the United States, are collaborating on quantum computing and hypersonics, the NATO democracies on AI strategies, the G7 democracies on ways to reduce dependence on China, and the Quad democracies on health security, space security, and cybersecurity. Australia, Austria, Ireland, Japan, South Korea, Switzerland, and Ukraine participate in NATO's Cyber Defense Center. The United States, Britain, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and India have blocked Chinese telecom firms from their 5G networks. The United States, Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan are forging the Chip4 Alliance to ensure a steady supply of semiconductor microchips to the free world. And the United States, Netherlands, and Japan are restricting exports of semiconductor production equipment to China. To-do list. These are welcome developments, but to contain the axis of autocracy over the long haul, the free world should return to what FDR called armed defense of democratic existence. What might that look like today? Rebuilding deterrent strength. Armed defense of the free world doesn't mean launching wars to make the world safe for democracy. It means having the resources to ensure the world's democracies can deter the world's autocracies. Even before sequestration slashed America's military resources and post-pandemic inflation began devouring them, U.S. deterrent capabilities were inadequate to the threat posed by Moscow and Beijing. The Army is trying to deter war in Europe with one-third the soldiers it deployed during the Cold War. Navy leaders say they need 500-plus ships. They have 296. With only 20 stealth bombers in service, just 14% of the Air Force bomber fleet would be able to penetrate Russia's or China's air defenses. The reason for these vulnerabilities: for more than a decade, America has invested barely 3% of GDP in defense. The Cold War average was more than twice that. To deter another great power war and to protect at-risk democracies from being occupied, Ukraine and Georgia, absorbed Hong Kong, blockaded Taiwan, annexed Ukraine, or mutilated Israel and Ukraine, the free world must pivot toward what FDR called a swift and driving increase in armament production. Some free world allies, Poland, Japan, South Korea, India, have made that adjustment. But more must be done in a more sustained way. Defending the free world is an all-hands-on-deck effort. Keeping commitments. Armed defense of the free world doesn't necessarily mean planting new democracies, but it surely means standing by existing democracies and maintaining democratic gains. Pulling out of democratic Iraq in 2011 jeopardized those gains and opened the door to ISIS. Allowing Afghanistan, which held 7 free elections between 2001 and 2020, to fend for itself doomed a nascent democracy and sent a terrible signal to China, Russia, and Iran. When America turns inward, the free world's enemies turn aggressive. Leveraging resources. The free world has vast economic, military, technological, and natural resources. Democracies in the Americas, Euro-Atlantic, Indo-Pacific, and Middle East enfold 71% of global GDP, 65% of global defense spending, and what former Joint Chiefs Chairman Admiral Michael Mullen calls a 1,000-ship navy. 19 of the 20 largest tech companies and 8 of the 10 largest 5G providers are headquartered in the free world. Microsoft runs 74% of the world's computers. Geologists recently discovered the world's 2 largest lithium deposits in California, Oregon, and Nevada. The United States alone possesses 327 trillion cubic feet of natural gas in the outer continental shelf, 264 billion barrels of oil, the world's largest recoverable oil reserves, and 3 trillion barrels of oil shale deposits, equaling more than OPEC's combined reserves. Leveraging these resources to defend the free world and weaken the axis of autocrats is a matter of will. Strengthening frontline democracies. Freedom must be armed better than tyranny, President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine observes. When it's not, the result is Ukraine 2022, Korea 1950, Pearl Harbor 1941, Czechoslovakia 1938. Even as support for Ukraine continues, the free world needs to shore up the defenses of other frontline democracies, the Baltics, Moldova, Georgia, Kosovo, Taiwan, the Philippines, to prevent another Ukraine. Zelensky's 1% for security concept offers a roadmap. Give us 1% of all your planes, 1% of all your tanks, 1%, he challenges the free world. When we finally have it, it will give us and you 100% security. This echoes an idea American leaders have espoused for generations. Support for freedom fighters is self-defense and is tied to our own security. President Ronald Reagan explained, decades earlier, President Harry Truman declared, it must be the policy of the United States to support free peoples who are resisting attempted subjugation by armed minorities or by outside pressures. And General George Washington observed, a free man contending for liberty on his own ground is superior to any slavish mercenary on earth. Reengaging the battle of ideas. A little less détente, Reagan also argued, and more encouragement to the dissenters might be worth a lot of armored divisions. Free world leaders should offer high-profile platforms to human rights activists, defectors, and other victims of Putin, Xi, Kim, and Khamenei. They should prosecute Putin's war crimes and draw attention to Xi's Laogai prisons, genocidal campaign against Uyghur Muslims, and mistreatment of Christians and Tibetans. They should wield China's willful mishandling of COVID-19 as a constant counterpoint to Xi's claim that business suit autocracy is the wave of the future. They should provide tools to help Russians, Chinese, Iranians, and North Koreans break through the information blockade their governments have erected. A revived U.S. information agency would benefit this effort. In Africa and South America, the free world should point to Belarus, Ukraine, Georgia, Syria, Gaza, Sri Lanka, and Hong Kong as evidence of what Xi, Putin, and Khamenei envision for their vassal states. Finally, free world leaders need to remind our enemies and our countrymen that armed defense of democratic existence, helping democracies deter or defeat aggression, is definitely not an act of aggression. Such aid is not an act of war, FDR stated, even if a dictator should proclaim it so to be. Forging an alliance of democracies. President Joe Biden contends that we're in a battle between democracies and autocracies and talks about an alliance of democracies. This concept finds support throughout history on both sides of the political spectrum and around the world. A steadfast concert for peace, President Woodrow Wilson argued, can never be maintained except by a partnership of democratic nations. Reagan intoned, just as the world's democracies banded together to advance the cause of freedom in the face of totalitarianism. He asked, might we not now unite to impose civilized standards of behavior on those who flout every measure of human decency? Fast forward to today. Stephen Hadley, President George W. Bush's national security advisor, has expressed support for a new alliance of free nations. Ivo Dalder, President Barack Obama's NATO ambassador, advocates a concert of democracies. The Atlantic Council, a respected U.S. think tank, has even crafted a plan for how such a body might function. Overseas, former NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen recently created the Alliance of Democracies Foundation, which is providing the intellectual and strategic framework for what he calls an alliance for peace, prosperity, and the advancement of democracy. Larger than NATO, smaller than the United Nations, dedicated to armed defense of democratic existence, an alliance of democracies could play a role where NATO won't, due to geographic limits, and where the UN can't, due to autocratic roadblocks and systemic glitches. such a body wouldn't be a panacea for the world's ills. But unlike the UN, an alliance of democracies could defend the front lines of freedom, harmonize and organize the free world's efforts, and promote the free world's interests. Alan W. Dowd is a senior fellow with the Sagamore Institute Center for America's Purpose.